Jeremiah chapter 6, and we will be reading verses 16 to 19 of Jeremiah chapter 6. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word? Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I bring evil upon this people, and upon the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." Our Heavenly Father, the warning goes out this morning as it did for the remnant that was left behind that Jeremiah was speaking to, and it seemed like there was no ears to hear the word from the Lord anymore. And I fear that in the year 2017, there are fewer and fewer people that truly want to know what God has to say. We're so politically correct. We're so sensitive to whatever someone might say that might possibly offend us. God, we know that your word teaches great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So I pray that we'd be a room full of law lovers today that are not concerned about what might hurt our feelings. Our greatest concern should be our standing with God Almighty. Work in us, please, as we preach the old-fashioned gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Times change and people change. 100 years ago, things were different than they are now. The average life expectancy was 47 years old. Only 14% of homes had a bathtub. Only 8% of homes had a telephone. 100 years ago, there were 8,000 cars in the United States and 144 miles of paved road. The average wage was 22 cents per hour. The average worker made $200 to $400 per year. 95% of all births took place at home. Most women only washed their hair once a month using borax or egg yolks for shampoo. Canada had a law that prohibited poor people from entering the country for any reason. The population of Las Vegas, Nevada was 30. There was no Mother's Day or Father's Day. 2 of every 10 adults could not read or write. Only 6% of all Americans had graduated from high school. Marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter at the local drugstore. There were 230 murders reported in the entire United States 100 years ago. In 2016, Chicago had 747 murders. And for the United States in 2015, there was 15,696 murders. 100 years ago, there would have been 97 million people in the United States, so let's just say there was 100 million. Today, there is roughly 311 million. By the numbers, if there was 230 murders with 100 million, there should be roughly 700 murders with 300 million. Folks, it's not just the growth in society that has made our murder rate skyrocket. It is the lack of believing in a God in heaven and an old-fashioned gospel that 100 years ago, whether you were a churchgoer or not, you understood there was a right and wrong, and you weren't terribly offended if somebody told you so. When Billy Sunday was preaching, he got up and he said things that the people were willing to hear and make adjustments because of it. And I am reading from a message that he had when I quoted, "I want to pledge for this Christ-hating, God-hating, whiskey-soaked, Sabbath-breaking, blaspheming, infidel, bootlegging old world." Well, I'll tell you what, nobody dares to say something like that anymore. And I have to wonder if there was a Billy Sunday running around in America today wanting to come and preach in our churches, if anybody would even come and hear him. Folks, things have changed. And it's depressing. In 1906, they had to build crusade tabernacles to hold the people that were willing to come and hear Billy Sunday preach. Today, we've got plenty of big buildings capable of holding the crowds, but nobody willing to come and listen. A.W. Tozer said, in the early 60s, it's scarcely possible in most places to get anyone to attend a meeting where the only attraction is God. Times have changed. But I've got good news for you, because I want you to know that not everything has changed. I got four things I'll give you very quickly. Number one, God has not changed. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We sing, and we used to sing, we haven't for a long time, "Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name." How difficult would it be if you and I were called to serve and obey a fickle God? That one day he said one thing, and the next day he said something else, and it really didn't matter how he changed the rules. You either obey him, or you're going to die and go to hell. Well, we don't serve a fickle God. Our God has not changed. What he laid down originally in his word is still true today. He's still holding the same standard to be true. He's still doing the same things he's always done. He still loves you beyond belief. And nothing has changed when it comes to God Almighty. Number one, God has not changed. He set the law, he enforced the law, and he fulfilled the law. Number two, God's word has not changed. God hasn't changed, and neither is his word. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Billy Sunday said, "The reason why you don't like the Bible, you old sinner, is because it knows all about you." The Bible stands like a rock undaunted through the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with a truth eternal, and it glows with a light sublime. Statistics on the Bible. It's the best-selling book of all time. It's the best-selling book every year. In the USA alone, 50 Bibles are sold every minute. 72,000 Bibles are sold every day. 26 million Bibles are sold every year. It's the top five best-selling books combined have only sold 12 million copies. The top three best-selling books of all time. Our Tale of Two Cities sold 200 million copies. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings sold 150 million. A Little Princess sold 140 million. The Bible has sold between 6 and 7 billion copies. The Gideons alone, in their 100-year history, have distributed 1.6 billion Bibles in 190 countries around the world. And they're just one of many agencies dedicated to the sole distribution of the Bible. Psalm 19 is a great psalm on the Word of God, and I just want us quickly to look at four verses in Psalm 19. If you're using a Pew Bible, that would be on page 607. Psalm 19, in verse number 7, says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure." Verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure." Verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are true." Verse 10, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." We're running around in America today trying to get rich, trying to get more than we had last year. Did you earn more this year? How are your numbers? If you're in business, are you growing or are you shrinking? If you're in the stock market, you better be growing. And all these things, we are trying to get wealth. America is the wealthiest nation that has ever existed in the history of mankind. And no matter how much we have, it's still not enough. And no matter how much you have, you don't deserve it. You've got too much. You should be giving it to someone else. We are going berserk over wealth. I'll tell you what the real answer is. The Bible says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. You want to get full of something, you want to be rich with something, you be rich with the Word of God. Because this is the book that makes all the difference in life. If wealth and power and prestige were anything, Hollywood would be the mecca of the world, but Hollywood is the cesspool of the world. We get all caught up in all the stuff that they're doing. Well, that Kardashian clan is going to die and go to hell and all of their nudity with them. But this book right here will stand forever. You watch out for what you put your eyes on, what you look up to, what you try to magnify, what you try to idolize. Because I'll tell you what, chances are it is contrary to everything that is godly and holy. It's the Bible that matters, and God's word has not changed. In verse number 10, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What's the Bible do? Number one, it warns you. And I'll be honest with you. I don't like to be warned. If I've got something I want to do, I want to do it. And if the Bible comes along and tells me, you know, you shouldn't do that, watch out for that, there's going to be trouble, then my human nature says, you can't tell me what to do. Now, thankfully, at 55 years old, I'm not as cocky as I was when I was young. I'm not as smart as I was when I was young. I knew a lot when I was young. The older I get, the less I know, the dumber I am. Well, Jack Hiles always used to preach we were smarter when we were dumber. Boy, isn't that the truth. 100 years ago, we didn't have a whole lot, and we weren't educated, and most people hadn't graduated from high school, but they had some horse sense and common sense. Now we've got no sense. Education has not been the answer. Getting away from God has not been the answer. And when we know the Word of God, number one, it warns us. God doesn't hate you. God didn't look around heaven this morning saying, there's that old Cornerstone Baptist Church, and I can't wait to destroy their life. I can't wait to make them miserable. I hope they hate my house. I hope they have a miserable time. That old-fashioned Sunday they're having, what a joke that'll be. I hope those people go home and are miserable. I hope the photos that James Ogden takes all comes out horrible. I hope everybody wants to burn his house down when it's all through. I hope it's awful. Well, God doesn't think that way. That's a joke. God loves you. Say that with me. God loves you. Now let's say, God loves me. God loves me. He's not, parents here today, did you lay in bed last night doing what your kids thought you were doing, trying to make their life miserable, planning ways to destroy their life? Is that what we all did last night? No, all we do, if we're staying awake at night, we're just trying to figure out how to keep them on the straight and narrow to make them life, their life the greatest it can possibly be. And all God is trying to do for you is keep you on the straight and narrow. Because see, he told us a long time ago, there's two ways. There's the broad way, Hollywood's on it. And then he said, there's a narrow way or a straight way or a hard way, and few there be that find it. Folks, get on that narrow road. Get on the road where there's not so many people going on, and that's the one where God promises that you will be rewarded. In keeping of them, there is great reward. And you and I, we're all caught up with what we're getting rewarded with today. And that's not where the reward is. The reward is when we leave this place. And I'm not talking about the Cornerstone Baptist Church. The reward is when we leave this life. When you breathe this last breath here and Christ is in your heart, the Bible says the next breath is going to be in the presence of glory. And that's where the reward is, Terry. William, that's where the reward is. You forget about this old sinful world. And let me tell you something. Number one, God has not changed. Number two, his word has not changed. And if you'll make that the gold standard in your life, I'm telling you, you will get the most pleasure that is possible out of this life. And in the next life, oh man, oh man, oh man, how great is that going to be? I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you. As one of you, appreciate that. Number one, God's not changed. Number two, the Bible hasn't changed. Number three, the way to heaven has not changed. Now, it used to be, you'd recognize that there was one way to heaven, and people knew that no amount of good living was going to make that happen. But as we've gotten smarter and recognized that the old Bible is an old book, a confused book, a chaotic book, it couldn't possibly be right. After all, now we know that the earth is billions of years old, not thousands of years old. Science has taught us all that. As I was studying about old things, there was a man that just this week, April 27th, 4977 BCE, they say now, before Christ, which is a misnomer. There was never a before Christ. Christ has always been. But we recognize that standard. Now they don't even want to say before Christ. Now they want to say before the common era. Well, I'm a BC guy. I'm a before Christ guy. Someone had decided that April 27th, 4977 BCE was the origin of the earth. And they had studied the orbit of the planets and come up with this figure of space and time and all of this and came up with 5,000 years before Christ is when the earth started. And you know, you can say, ah, ha, ha. And they laughed at that, saying they found out he was only 13.7 billion years off. Who says? Who made them so smart that we're 13.7 billion years older and maybe not a few thousand years older? I'm telling you, the older you can make the earth, the more disconnected God becomes, and we no longer need him. I'm for a young earth. I don't know how old the earth is, but it is not billions of years old. God has not neglected us all of that time. Even if he started us and put us here and walked away, that is a bunch of crap. Can I say that from the pulpit? That is a load of manure right from the pit of hell. What can I say? Huh? Amen, brother. Thank you. Appreciate that, Terry. When you guys all leave, Terry and I, we're going to have our own little festival here. So I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. And he set down a standard. And he said only perfect people are coming to heaven. And he put us in a perfect environment. And he put a man and a woman in there. A man and a woman. Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. That has not changed. Now we don't even know what gender we are anymore. Really? I got a little time. Someone accurately said this week from Harvard or Yale, which I didn't think anything smart came out of there, transgender is not possible. Scientifically speaking, you are the gender you are. It cannot be changed. There is no cross from one to the other. There's a guy named Bruce Jenner that's making a lot of news. He's got another name now. I got news for you. He's still Bruce Jenner. His DNA has not changed. God made him a man. I understand he's had some parts rearranged. As ridiculous as this is, and I know probably from the pulpit I shouldn't be going here, but the reality of it is that is how sick society has become. And we're okay with that. Well, mark it down. I'm not okay with that. That is wrong. I don't want my kids around that. Now, Billy Sunday never had to address these things because we weren't that sick 100 years ago, but we're that sick now. It's embarrassing. God made you who you are. He put you on this earth. He said you've got to realize that because of sin, we've lost fellowship with him. But he said, I'll do this for you. You are not capable of making yourself right. I'll make you right. I'll come down on earth and I will take your place. And in the form of Jesus Christ, God himself came down to earth and enforced the law. See, he didn't make any exceptions. He said, this is the way it has to be. And I know you can't do it, so I'll do it for you. And he did for you what you could not do for yourself. He died in your place. And I'm here to tell you that God hasn't changed, the Bible hasn't changed, and the way to heaven has not changed, regardless of what the vote may be in the masses of the world today. Jesus Christ is the only way. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 1, 12, but as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Acts 4, 12, neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nowhere in those verses does it say, if you believe in Keith, or if you believe in William, or if you believe in Paul. No, if you believe in Jesus Christ, he is the only way. There is nothing else. If there was an exception to be made, God would have made it for his son. But he does not make exceptions, and he'll not make any exception for you. And the time will come when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other name. He's the only one. And I know it's not popular, but we're dying and going to hell trying to be polite. And if you're here today and you've never trusted in the name of Jesus Christ to get you to heaven as the only way to heaven, as the man, the only one that can forgive your sins, if you've not done that, you are not saved. There is no other plan. God hasn't changed. The Bible has not changed. The way to heaven has not changed. And lastly, he's still coming back. And I know it's been a long time. Do you ever have to wait for something and wait for something and wait for something and wait for something? The longest day of your life, guys, if you're married, you can remember this. If you're getting married, I'll tell you, the longest day of your life is your wedding day. You just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. Lori and I were married at 1 o'clock because we knew you're supposed to get married in the afternoon. We would have scheduled it at 8 o'clock in the morning, but we went for 1 o'clock because that was as close as we could to being acceptable and get it done early. Married Emily at 7 o'clock in the evening. It's just so long. And then after you get married, it's so long. You know, it's just... You know, I'm joking, but and there's just so many times where you wait and you wait and you wait. Hurry up. Ever heard the phrase, hurry up and wait? Well, I'll tell you, we're hurrying up and we're waiting for our Lord to return. He said he's coming back. Really, Lord? Really? And in Peter it says that, you know, for all this time has passed, and where's the promise of his coming? Where is it? And that's a legitimate question. I understand your frustration, and some of you are fighting cancer, and some of you have issues, and you're wondering how it's going to turn out, and you know if Christ would come back, you'd get rescued. And I'm for being rescued. I got kids that are getting married, and I got kids that are growing up, and I'm for just getting out of here. You guys look at me like you've never thought those things. You pious bunch of gas bags, I'm telling you. Huh? But I got good news. Jesus is coming back. In John chapter 14, you've heard it, you can quote it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Why is he saying that? Because he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Say that with me. I will come again. I can't wait. For every funeral I preach, for every graveside I stand by, knowing that they knew Christ, we talk about the great reunion there's going to be someday. You know what? Not all our loved ones are here. Sad to say, some of them are home watching TV. And it breaks our heart. But some of them have gone on before us. Hopefully, most of them knew the Lord. Now, I recognize not every loved one you knew the Lord. I recognize that. It's painful. But the ones that did, God's got something special planned for us that, folks, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. It is going to be awesome. And only God does awesome. You know, we look at things, and nowadays my kids will say, yeah, Cody got a little electric four-wheeler for Christmas. His word's awesome. Well, I'm thinking, Code Man, that ain't awesome. It's great. I'm happy for you. But that ain't awesome. Only God does awesome. And he's coming back. And a verse that we quote a lot is, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. How many have a loved one that's gone on ahead of you? Yeah, we all do, don't we? I'll tell you what, that old song, Heaven's Getting Sweeter All the Time, seems like lately it's always on my mind. And someday we're going to leave this world behind because heaven's getting sweeter all the time. And I'm telling you, the world is falling apart all around us. What we need to be as Christians is rock solid. Did you hear me? The standard we set, the life we live, makes a difference of how quickly society is going to fall apart. And I'll tell you, I'm doing all I can on my watch to stand for what is right. Stop apologizing for Jesus Christ. Stop apologizing for the gospel. Stop apologizing that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ, and just live it and be pleased with it and share it and take as many with you as we possibly can, because Jesus is coming back. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would live a life that makes a difference. God, our world is sick. And the statistics we read this morning of the changes that are taking place are drastic. And it's possible it's because we are not living the life that you've called us to. And it's possible there are folks here this morning that have never trusted in the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior. And today's the day. Today they need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. And Lord, right now while I'm praying, I hope for the lost person here today, they'd say those words, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And if they'd say them and ask you to forgive their sins and make a home in heaven for you, we know that you would. We know that you want to. All you're asking for is an invitation. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. And then, Lord, as Billy Sunday would say, I want you to take a pledge with me to make a pledge that will not rest until this God-hating, Christ-hating, whiskey-soaked, blaspheming, bootlegging, infidel, lost world is bound to the cross of Christ through the golden chains of love. It's our job, it's our mission to live a life that pleases you and reaches others. And forgive us if we are not. I pray for the next year, on our next anniversary, there would be more people standing for you, living for you, that our numbers would not decrease, but they would increase, because Christians decided to stand. Forgive us if we haven't. Help us to ask for forgiveness and confess that sin, and then just plain flat out live for you. Number one, I need you as my Savior. Number two, I need you as my Lord so I can serve you. Bless the invitation, please. In Jesus' name, amen. 336, if God's spoken, please use the altar.